Hey, what's good, everybody? Locked On Badgers. Is the new transfer shooting guard, Max Klusman, locked in as the starting shooting guard next year? All that and more in today's Locked On Badgers.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's good, everybody? Locked On Badgers. Thank you for making Locked On Badgers your first listen every day. I am Ryan Herrings, as always, here with you, building this Badgers community on the Locked On Network. We are free and available wherever you get podcasts, free and available on YouTube. Appreciate everybody jumping in, listening, subscribing, leaving a review, sending listener questions. I'm starting to try to build out a list of those so we can have just a listener's Q&A show. So if you got anything, send it our way. Very, very much appreciate everything you guys are doing for us on the show. And again, thank you for making us your first listen every single day. You know, for the first segment here, we haven't really had a chance to do it because we had the NFL draft, and we're going to get deeper into Max Klusman later this week. I got Dylan Graff coming on board, and, you know, we're going to really dive into his film, right? So Max Klusman, the Wofford transfer coming into the Badgers program, we're going to dive into his film later this week. So don't feel like I've been holding out on y'all. I've been wanting to talk about him. We just had the draft, the preview, then the draft happened, and we wanted to talk about where people went. But Max Klusman, we're going to talk about him to start today's show. And then, like I said, later this week, we're going to get into him more in depth. So continue listening on that. So Klusman, you know, was originally from Wisconsin. He was from Neenah, Wisconsin. He's a shooting guard, a 6'3", 200-pound shooting guard that went to Wofford, played 2 years at Wofford. Last year, started 31 games. And again, we've talked about it. The Badgers have some major holes on this roster, right, especially in the backcourt. They brought in Kamari McGee to be that kind of backup point guard, and that checked the box. But they still had a major hole on the wing. They have a hole at the backup five. They have a hole at the shooting guard position, you know, with Brad Davidson leaving. So Klusman comes in. Max Klusman started 31 games last year for Wofford, shot 35-ish percent from three. You know, not an eye-popping number, but that would have been one of the best shooters on this team last year. Low bar, I know. But he also shot 85% from the free throw line, and that's important to note. Great shooters, you know, if their three-point percentage oscillates a little bit, that free throw percentage being in the mid to high 80s, like, that's a great sign. The guy can shoot the ball. You know, 1.9 assists per game, 2.1 turnovers per game, that's a bad sign, guys. That's a red flag. You know, and it's not that we're bringing him in to be a point guard, but he's going to have to handle the ball some. And it's nice if you have a secondary playmaker. You know, Brad Davidson was better last year. Having a guy that can help create some stuff. You know, Johnny Davis, as great of a scorer as he was last year, still created some easy buckets and opportunities for players. I'm not sure if Klusman can be that guy. Again, we're going to dive into the film more later this week with Dylan. This is more of a welcome to the team, introduction to it. It is important to note, guys, Klusman had some other pretty big-time offers. Excuse me. You know, he entered the transfer market in South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Colorado State, Clemson. You know, so you're talking some ACC teams, SEC teams, you know, so this is not a guy who Wisconsin's the only dude that was our only school that was in on him. This is a guy who has enough size. He shot it well enough. He's got a couple years of experience. He's got starting experience. Like I said, 31 starts last year. He didn't start a ton as a freshman for Wofford, but he played quite a bit. You know, so you're bringing somebody in, and kind of what I said at the opening of the show is this guy, is Klusman the starting shooting guard next year? And I think right now you got to say yes. I think you just brought in the starting two guard. I really do. Because you look at who's on the roster. Who else would be that dude? You got Chucky Hepburn is obviously the one. We talked about Kamari McGee coming in. But Kamari McGee, remember, is small. Kamari McGee is about 6 foot, and he doesn't play above the rim. He's not hyper-athletic. He's not a guy that you're going to be able to play with Chucky Hepburn a ton. You know, can you play with him a little bit? Sure. I think those two could play together in packages. Against smaller teams, maybe against teams that like to spread the floor, you want to get a little quicker. Maybe you want to even press a little bit, get up tempo. But for the most part, you can't play Kamari McGee and Chucky Hepburn together a lot. So, you know, Kamari is the backup one, and that's going to be his role. So that still leaves that two spot wide open. If anybody out there was thinking Kamari McGee could maybe slide into that two spot, it's not going to happen, guys. So I think Klusman is brought in as that starting two. I think this is the starting two guard next year because – what else is on the roster, guys? Listen, it's possible still that another transfer is out there, but I highly doubt they're going to be bringing three transfer guards this offseason. They're just not going to, especially when you still have a need at the backup five. You need to add some bulk. You could use another wing more than another guard. So what else is on the roster? You have Jacoby Neath, right? He was a transfer from last year, came over from Wake Forest, struggled with injuries the entire year. Frankly, I thought his play left a lot to be desired. He didn't shoot very well. He was not much of a playmaker. Now, I do think him being hurt the entire year on and off matters, right? The book is not written on Jakobi Neath. That being said, he played some decent chunks of time, and I didn't see the playmaking. I didn't see the requisite, you know, scoring to be a starting two guard in the Big Ten. You know, I think he is a dude who can come off the bench. He's athletic. He's big. He's strong. I think he's a role player, and that's fine. You need those dudes. You know, if he's healthy next year, I'd expect him to be better than he was this year. And I'd expect him to be a good, solid sixth, seventh man coming off the bench. And he's big enough to play the three against some teams because he's just so strong. He's a physical dude. You know, so Neath can come off the bench. He can play some two. He can play some three. Maybe even a little backup one. But again, that's Kamari McGee's role now. So probably not really a backup two and three. And he can get 20 minutes between those spots and be a valuable player. But I don't think he's a starter unless he improves a lot this offseason. Like maybe the injuries for Jakobi Neath were worse last year than we realized. And that's possible. All right. He's also dealing with transitioning from Wake Forest to Wisconsin. Maybe that took more out of him than we realized. Maybe the transition in schemes and between the coaching, you know, differences between those two programs was more difficult than we realized. And he comes out next year more efficient, you know, more composed within the system, more able to utilize his athletic tools. Because, you know, Jakobi Neath is more athletic than Klesmet, Max Klesmet. I just don't think he's as skilled. I don't think he's as efficient. So I don't think it's going to be Neath. And there really isn't another dude on the roster. It's not, you know, Jordan Davis. I don't think Jordan Davis is starting to next year. He didn't shoot very well at all last year. Defensively, he looked good, but I didn't think he looked great. You know, the scouting report on Jordan Davis, Johnny's brother coming in, was a great defensive player. So I got to be honest, I didn't really see that. I saw a dude with a good frame, you know, solid athletic ability, more of a prototypical down the road 3-and-D guy, but not a guy who really showed that last year. So I don't think he's going to be the starter. I mean, Klesman's definitely coming in with more chops on his resume than Jordan Davis. So I don't think it's going to be Jordan Davis. And after that, you have Isaac Lindsay. You have really don't have many options, guys. So I'm not trying to say Klesman's only starting by default because there's nobody else, but kind of there's nobody else. So he kind of is. And that doesn't mean he'll be bad in that role either. Again, we're going to break down the film later this week. I got Dylan coming on. You guys know him. He's awesome. We're going to really chop it up on Max and really dive into where we think he can win and where he might struggle a little bit. But I think he's the starting two guard next year, guys. And I think there's ways that he can really make the team better by being that starting two guard. So, yeah, I think Klesman's the guy. And hopefully they can fill in a few more spots around him and we get some internal growth. And it could be a really interesting team next year. Coming up, guys. We have kind of our friends from the show, some of the sponsors, but we're going to come on the next segment. We're going to talk about some of the guys drafted and where the recruiting journeys began. Like, which of the draftees in this latest 2022 NFL draft class from the Badger standpoint exceeded their recruiting standpoint, and which ones maybe didn't quite live up to the recruiting status? All that and more on today's Locked On Badgers. Hey guys, thank you for making Locked On Badgers your first listen every day. Appreciate y'all so much. So we're going to get into the NFL draft just happened. We're still kind of unpacking that. I wanted to go back into recruiting rankings and look at these guys, where they were when they came into the Wisconsin program and kind of compare and contrast with where they got drafted. And which of these dudes maybe, you know, kind of blew past their recruiting rankings, which ones maybe didn't live up to it, which ones were kind of where they should be. And maybe close the book a little bit on the 2017 recruiting class with a couple final thoughts, because this draft really closed the book on that class for the most part. So let's talk about the draftees first. Now we're going to go from highest to lowest. So Leo Chanel, drafted in the third round. We talked about him a lot, how we all felt he should have been drafted higher, but this show's not for that. Even though I'll say it again, the dude should have been drafted higher. But Leo Chanel, third round pick, going back to his recruiting rankings, he was a high-ish three-star kid. And for recruiting rankings, guys, we're going to use the 247 composite, because the 247 composite, it's not that I'm trying to favor 247 or Rivals or Sports Illustrated. The 247 composite just takes a lot of those recruiting rankings from different sites and mashes them together. So I feel like it gives us a good average. That's the recruiting rankings. Whenever we talk about them in the show, that's what we use just to get that average ranking. So we're not just going off one source here. So the 247 composite on Leo Chanel was a high three-star. He went in the third round. To me, listen, if you're a high three-star and you go in the third round of the draft, you ended up going past your recruiting evaluation, right? A third-round pick is a top 90-ish player in all of college football. And he just, he played that way, right? So to me, if you go back and were to re-rank Leo Chanel, which is kind of what I'm doing in this exercise, I'm looking at the guys drafted and how I, you know, if you go back and rank them accordingly, Leo Chanel's a four-star kid. He came in as a three-star, drafted in the third round, Big Ten Player of the Year. He's easily a high four-star. If he had gone around earlier, which I thought he should have, you can make a case that he's a five-star talent that came in as a three-star recruit. So this is 1-1. We're going to stamp Leo Chanel as he overachieved based on his recruiting ranking, and I'm going to give him a four-star ranking in the post kind of grading process here. The next guy up was Logan Bruss, also a third-round pick. He came in as a mid-three-star. Yeah, I think, again, he's a dude that played huge parts of three seasons, versatile, played all over. Third-round draft pick. Again, to me, that's a four-star recruit. If I know Logan Bruss didn't have the sexiest career, and he didn't have some of the accolades that we've had at the offensive line spot, and he didn't have some of the accolades that maybe Leo Chanel did. You know, Chanel's a Big Ten linebacker of the year. But if you play a lot over the course of three seasons, start a bunch of games, you're versatile, you play all over, and you're a third-round pick, that's the resume of a four-star recruit. So, again, I think Logan Bruss was a guy that was undervalued in the recruiting rankings. He came in as a three-star, and I'm going to bump him up to a four-star talent, four-star, you know, kind of overall impact level. Coming up next, Jake Ferguson, fourth-round pick, Dallas Cowboys. He came in as a high three-star. I think that's right about where he should be. I'm going to leave him as a high three-star. I'm not going to bump him up, even though I want to, just because he was so good for 4 years. But a fourth-round pick, he was never, in my opinion, a major difference-making tight end. He was an incredibly solid, consistent four-year performer, and he's about as high of a three-star guy looking back at it as you want to say. But I think, you know, if you're looking at what a four-star tight end at Wisconsin, if you look back at it, it's a guy like Travis Beckham, like Lance Kendricks, guys that really broke open more plays. So for me, Ferguson, yeah, high three-star ranking he had coming in. I'm going to kind of leave him there. I think that's pretty fair. Matt Henningsen, sixth round pick. Again, we're going from the highest pick to the lowest pick in this last draft. Matt Henningsen was a sixth round pick of the Broncos. He came in as a low two-star. I mean, he was a two-star recruit, undrafted free agent. Incredibly safe to say he exceeded all of those recruiting expectations, all those recruiting projections. I'm going to bump him up to a high three-star. I'm putting that stamp on him right now. If you're an NFL draft pick, if you start, you know, the better part of two seasons, you know, if you are a great ambassador of the program, not that that's a huge deal, but it matters. And Henningsen does all of those things, NFL draft pick, sixth rounder. That's a high three-star grade. I'm going back. We're bumping him up a full star. Came in as a two-star guy. Bump him up, high three-star. And the last guy I picked was Fan Hicks. He came in as a low three-star guy. Seventh-round pick, also the Broncos. Listen, you got to bump it up. I'm going to say it's a mid three-star. You know, Fan Hicks is a guy who played a lot of football for the Badgers, was very successful, helped shut down some really good Big Ten receivers. I know he had moments where the Nebraska game this year wasn't his highlight, but he played David Bell as hard as and as well as anybody played David Bell. You know, there's teams in the Big Ten who couldn't stop David Bell. Hello, Iowa, right? And hello, Michigan State, by the way. And Fan Hicks and Caesar Williams shut him down. Like, they blanketed him. And he, you know, seventh-round pick, that's got to at least be a mid-three-star recruit, high three-star recruit. He came in as a very low three-star, like an 82 overall. So, again, this is a guy who outplayed his recruiting projections. And you see that so much at Wisconsin, guys. And it's one of the, it gets into one of those stars versus player development arguments where, again, the truth is always in the middle on this. I think people who really understand it realize that, you know, there's an argument on both sides. Recruiting rankings, raw talent matters, but then it has to go into the right ecosystem. And the Badgers constantly and consistently outperform those recruiting rankings because of guys like Matt Henningsen, who we just talked about, an undrafted in-state or walk-on in-state kid who ends up being a sixth-round pick. Guys like Fan Hicks, who was a low three-star, who was drafted and played multiple years at Wisconsin. So multiple guys in this class exceeded their recruiting rankings. We're going to jump next into some of the undrafted guys, kind of where they came into the system or they came into the program, where they were ranked, and, you know, how we would re-rank them if we're looking at them now based on their Badger career and where they ended up in the NFL. All that and more, guys. But first, we're going to talk about one of the sponsors of the show, Bet Online. Bet Online is, again, consistently, you know, one of the best places that you can go for all your sports needs, whether it's sports wagering, sports information, newsletters, podcasts, online Vegas games, roulette, blackjack. It's all there, guys. The website's incredibly easy to use. And we talked about it a ton. This is a great time to do it, right? If you think you have a read on the NFL, what's coming up next year, go to their future side. And I've talked about it. If you have a read on anybody in the NFC, right? You think the Packers have reloaded appropriately. You think, you know, it's the Bills season next year with all the talent they've added. You know, maybe you got a long shot. Maybe you think it's the Dolphins' turn. You know, there's so many options in the futures game. If you have a read, take $5, throw it on some team, and just enjoy the ride. And it's so much fun, guys. Get your friends involved. I know I'm in the NBA playoffs right now. I got money on the Bucks in the championship and the Suns in the championship. It's a lot of fun. You don't need to have much money to enjoy it. And you can, like I said, you can also go there and just get sports news. They have where the next coach is going to land. You know, who's the next guy that's going to be traded. All of that is on Bet Online. Head to the website today. Use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and the actions. Bet Online, where the game starts. So we're going to continue this segment, and I hope it's interesting for you guys. Like, so much of what we do on the college level is recruiting, but I don't feel like we go back enough to look at where these guys were and how they ended up, and were we right? You know, were the recruiting, you know, prognosticators right? And we try to validate who was ranked appropriately, who's too high, who's too low. And we're kind of trying to do that with just this drafted group. I think we're going to get more into this, maybe ranking entire recruiting classes, going back and saying, you know, what is this class actually, now that they played out their Badgers career? Who was a four-star? Who was a five-star? We're just doing that with the drafted guys today, the undrafted guys. But we're going to continue on this segment. So we went through all the drafted guys. Now, here are the undrafted guys, and this is where it gets kind of fun. Danny Davis came in as a four-star receiver out of Ohio. You know, it was a late addition to the Badgers program for those following recruiting at the time. You know, somebody who was, you know, deciding between a couple teams. We weren't sure if we were going to get Danny Davis, if you guys remember. Kentucky was really high on his list. A lot of people thought he was going there. And it was a signing day addition. It was a big deal. And he came in as a four-star. He ended up as an undrafted free agent going to the Green Bay Packers, which is awesome. You know, in-state. Not in-state kid, he's from Ohio, but a guy that played at Madison, going to Green Bay, easy to root for. That being said, if you have to look back, would you rank him as a four-star receiver? I think you got to drop him down a notch as a three-star. And you still have to give him credit. You know, most guys do not have the college career Danny Davis had, right? He contributed as a true freshman all the way through this fifth-year senior season. And he gave the Badgers a lot. There was a lot of things Danny Davis did on a football field that helped Wisconsin win. That being said, you know, that four-star receiver, especially at Wisconsin, you're expected to come in and you're really expected to be a difference maker, be an NFL draft pick type of a guy. And Danny Davis wasn't that. So I'm going to bump him down. Looking back at it, we're going to call him a three-star recruit, which is still incredibly solid. None of this is meant to knock anybody. And by the way, this is only my opinion. So I could be completely off base on this. If you guys think so, let me know. You know, leave a like, leave a comment, you know, let me know. There's no wrong opinions on this stuff. I just like the discussion. I like the conversation. So let's move on. Jack Sanborn came in as a four-star as well. He's the only four-star in his class. His younger brother's on the team now as well. He came in as a four-star, and I want to leave him as a four-star, guys. I really do, just based on his career, right? Because he had a better Badgers career than Danny Davis did. That being said, he's an undrafted free agent. Went to the Chicago Bears, by the way. I'm going to bump him down to a really high three-star if we're going to retroactively grade it. And that might be completely unfair, and it might be recency bias from the draft, but I am kind of going off the draft here and trying to combine it a little bit with what they did at Wisconsin. So I'm going to say Sanborn, as high of a three-star without being a four-star as you could be, going back and re-ranking that recruiting class. Caesar Williams signed with the Rams. He came in the program as a low three-star. That feels about right. You know, Caesar had a lot of really good moments, had a really, really good game 2 years ago against the Minnesota Gophers. You know, long limb, 6'2"-ish corner, you know, gave the program a lot of experience, a lot of time, played a lot of winning ball. But at the end of the day, a little slow, not quite fast enough, undrafted free agent for the Rams. The Rams, by the way, love those Badger players. We talk about it all the time. That's one of the places, man. If you're a Badger, you're probably going to end up either in Denver, in Indianapolis, in Seattle, or with the Rams. That's probably where you're ending up. Maybe with Dallas if you're an offensive lineman. So I'm going to say that low three-star that Caesar Williams had coming into the program is probably accurate. Let's go to Scott Nelson, you know, three-star guy, undrafted free agent with the Seahawks. Again, one of those teams we just talked about that really loves them Badgers. I think that three-star rating from Nelson coming in is probably accurate. There's Josh Seltzner,
Now, this is an interesting one. Seltzner came in as a PWO. Again, continuing that long story tradition. Seltzner was a two-star. I think you got to bump him up. If you look back at Josh Seltzner, started for 2 years, undrafted free agent. I think he has a chance to make this roster, by the way, with the Indianapolis Colts, blocking for our old boy Jonathan Taylor. Big physical guy, kind of just a mover, an old-school guard. I think he's a three-star guy. He came in as a two-star, that preferred walk-on in-state kid. I'm going to bump him up to a three-star. Kendrick Pryor came in as a low three-star, you know, played a lot as a Badger. I think he was a little limited at times, had trouble getting open. He signed with the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm going to leave him as a low three-star. I think that's accurate. And then the last one we're going to talk about is John Chanel, fullback. Obviously, Leo Chanel's brother came in as a fullback, a two-star. He signed, I think it was with the Raiders. I'd have to double-check that. But he just signed an undrafted free agent. He was the last one that I saw from this Badgers group that signed as an undrafted free agent. Came in as a two-star. Again, I'm going to give him a three-star ranking, a low three-star ranking. Signed an NFL contract, undrafted free agent. He at least has a chance. That's farther than most kids get. And he played a lot of football for the Badgers. So, again, these are only my opinions, guys. I was really interested to go back and actually kind of look at where these Badger careers started as we talked about where they're ending. And most of these guys, you know, except for a very few, most of them exceed their recruiting rankings. And that makes sense because we're talking about the guys that made it to the NFL. But even then, the fact that this many dudes made it, you know, we're talking a ton of Badgers. Five were drafted. If you look in the Big Ten, that's only behind Ohio State. I think Michigan also had five drafted, and then below them, Minnesota had four, Nebraska had three, maybe Penn State. I think it's behind Ohio State and Penn State, and then tied with Michigan. So even in a year where we talked about the Badgers not having a ton of premium draft picks, not having a ton of premium draft capital, this program continues to put dudes in the NFL. And they continue to do it because they continue to develop guys that come in as two stars, as three stars, and they turn them into NFL picks. And by the way, I think with the youth on this roster, it's only going to – the next couple of years, you're going to see more draft picks from this team. I guarantee it. They're going to be more premium picks, especially I think 2 years from now when some of those offensive linemen start coming out, when Braylon Allen's there, when some of those outside linebackers come out. There's some dudes on this team, man. So the 12 guys we talked about here with the undrafted free agents and the picks, six of them are from Wisconsin. Again, continuing that trend of in-state kids fueling the Wisconsin program. So guys, that was kind of just a quick snapshot of where everyone came from to where they ended up in the NFL. Again, we talked about some of the guys who outplayed their recruiting projection and a few of them who didn't quite live up to it. Let me know if you think I'm wrong, if you think I'm off base on any of these dudes, if you wouldn't go back and regrade any of them, or if you think I'm being a little too unfair on a guy like Danny Davis or Sanborn, let me know. Let me know if you think Leo Chanel, I should go back and give him a fifth star. Maybe that's a five-star guy if you go back and look at his career and where he was picked in the NFL. So as always, guys, let me know what you think. I can't tell you how much I appreciate everyone listening to the show. We got a ton of good content coming up this week. We got multiple interviews. We got Dylan coming on. We're going to talk more about Max Klesman. We're going to dive into the film with him. And we got a couple of interviews this week as well, diving into the state of Wisconsin recruiting inside the borders of Wisconsin, how we're doing there. So as always, you can find us at lockedonbadgers@gmail.com or on lockedonbadgers on Twitter. Reach out, leave a subscription, subscribe. Thank you again for making Lockdown Badgers your first listen every day. We really appreciate it, guys. And I'll talk to you tomorrow.